Chapter 15. I just feel like it's preaching time this morning, and so you pray for us. I do want to say while you're turning, I'm so thankful that Brother and Sister Schrader is able to be here in church this morning, and they've been through so much, but I thank the Lord for answered prayer and for letting you both get out of the hospital, amen, and recover. And it's so good to have them back in the Lord's house with us, as well as others here this morning, amen. Luke chapter number 15, and I want to just read two verses of Scripture this morning, then give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Luke chapter number 15, if you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, and we won't read the entirety of this text this morning. I know that you're familiar with it, especially after the last few weeks. But Luke chapter number 15, and notice with me in verse number 14. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask you this morning to help us. I pray that you would touch us in a special way. We do want to thank you for the special offering. Thank you for your people, the sacrifice that they have given this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to give and the tithes and offerings. And I just pray now, Lord, that you would bless the reading of thy word. I pray that if there's anybody here lost, oh God, may today be their day of salvation. Anyone that may be backslid, I pray that today, God, that you would trouble the waters of their soul. May they come and get right with you. And Lord, have your way. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. May you get the glory and the honor for everything that will be said and done. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice in verse number 14 the folly of this younger son. The Bible talks about here that when he had spent all. And when we think about that little phrase, when he had spent all, it shows the folly of his own will. I mean, this young man has all these things that the father has given him, and it's in his own possession and it's in his own will now to do whatever he wants to, whatever he wills to do with what the father has given him. And the Bible clearly says that he spent all. Nobody made him spend this money. Nobody took this money from him, but it's the folly of his own will. And then the folly of his own wealth. When you think about what this young man spent, I mean, God had blessed him. God had been good to him. His father had given him much, more than what he could ever have desired. He could have taken this. He could have invested it. He could have used it wisely. He could have sought counsel from his father, but he spent this wealth without even a hesitation. You know, you think about people that have lived and worked all their life. They're not as quick to just write a check or swipe a card or spend money because they understand the value of a dollar. They understand what it is to work hard. On the other side, this young man had just been given something that he had never worked for, something that he had never earned in and of itself. So therefore, it didn't have the value to him that it had to his father. And I'm for giving people things, and I'm for being a blessing to people, but I'll tell you, I don't like people always with their hands stuck out. Can we get an amen right there? I mean, some people, they live from handout to handout, and I'm not, again, talking about people that needs help, amen, but there's some people that they always looking to get one up. And I'm going to tell you, those people never appreciate what they have because they never had to work for it. They never earned it. You work for something, you'll take better care of it. Can we get a witness right there? I mean, so you work and you pay for something. Listen, it means a little bit more to you. But this young man, we see the folly of his own will, the folly of his own wealth, and then we see the folly of his own wastefulness. Look what the Bible says he did. The Word of God says, and when he had spent, look at this, all. He spent everything the Father gave him. He wasted not some, not most. He wasted everything. You know, when you get away from God, that's what happens. You waste it all. We see the folly. I think it's a foolish thing to walk away from the things of God. You would agree this morning to get out of church is foolish. Nobody's life gets better when they get out of church. It always gets worse. And to leave one church and go join another church because you didn't like what went on at this church, amen. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about because it's graveyard dead, amen. I'm not talking about distance, amen. I'm talking about, you know, you live 2 hours away, but a church of what life is still worth the drive. Can I get an amen right there? But I'm talking about some people just, you know, I didn't like what was done. I didn't like what was said, so I just find me another good church. You might even join a good church, but if you're not in the will of God, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to waste everything God gave you. Now, that's good for members. It's good for the preacher. If I was to say, well, I'm going to go to a church that's got more money or got more of this. I've seen preachers do that. And I'll tell you something. It all comes down to the will of God. Amen? I'd rather be digging ditches and be in the center of God's will as, listen, to be somewhere trying to just make a better living in life. Amen? Because there's more to life than money. Can we get an amen? I'm telling you, I could be broke and still have peace. Amen? I can be broke and still have joy. I can be broke and still have happiness. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been there. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I'm there tomorrow, God's not changed. Amen. He'll still take care of me. He'll still take care of you. I'm talking about this morning, the happiest place I've ever been in my life has been right smack dab in the center of God's will. And I want to be where God wants me to be. Amen. I see the folly of this young man. I see the folly. But look at verse 14 again. Notice the famine. The Bible said there arose a mighty famine. The famine comes right after this young man's folly. And that tells me that this famine could have been divinely sent. God in the Bible would send famines to judge his people, wouldn't he? And famines still come today. I see the surprise of this famine. You notice the word arose. The Bible said there arose a mighty famine. Meaning it just come out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know if this young man was too busy living a wasteful life to even notice the signs that, of what was coming on, or if he just didn't care, or if it just come that quickly out of nowhere. But all I know is that as soon as he run out of everything, as soon as he run out of money, as soon as he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, the surprise of that famine. Now listen to me. Here's what the devil will do. Amen? Just like this famine came without warning, without announcement. You remember this. You get away from God. You get out there in this world and you start living your life the way you want to, like this young man. You just chalk it up. Somewhere out of nowhere, there's coming a famine in your life. If you can go out there and live in a world and life is better out there than it was in here, that only means one thing. You're not saved. Because the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, you say, Brother Gravely, you got chapter and verse on that, Hebrews 12. I read it yesterday, studied on it just a little bit. The Bible said, if you be without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. That means you're an illegitimate child. That means you do not belong to him. And you mark it down, people that can go to the world and they're happier out there than they've ever been in church. It means that's where they belong to begin with. But the Bible even says that they went out from us. Why? Because they were not us. Amen. I'm telling you, if I was to go out there and start living in the world today and doing my own thing and living my own way, I promise you there's a famine around the corner. There's a trouble. It may be a financial famine. It might be a physical famine. It may be some mental or emotional famine. I don't know what it would be. It may be a domestic famine. But I promise you, God is going to let the supplies run out, and he's going to let the problems and the troubles come. And oftentimes they come out of nowhere. The surprise of this famine. The size of this famine. Look at it again. The Bible said there arose, look at this word, a mighty famine. I mean, this is not something that you just shrug off. This isn't something that's just going to happen for a day or two. I mean, this is a famine that when it came in swiftly. It came in powerfully. I mean, it overtook everything and everybody around. It affected a lot of people's life. It's not just a famine, but the Bible says it is a mighty famine. It's not something you could just write out. You know, when you go through troubles and trials as a Christian and you're living for God, it's amazing how God helps you get through things, isn't it? It's amazing how he takes care of things. It's amazing when there's no money, but you come to the end of the month and the bills are paid. Where did that money come from? It's amazing when you think, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay the grocery bill, but somehow you made it another week and you might have to eat peeps, amen? They're not looking so bad right now. I don't know what I did with them. You might have to live on s'mores. But God will take care of you, won't He? I'm telling you tonight, this morning, that when you get out of God's will, it's the opposite of that. You can make as much money as you want to. And was it Habakkuk? Or I may have had the wrong passage, the wrong book of the Bible. But the Bible talked about they had holes, Brother Laddy, in their bags. Meaning that money is just going right through. Just going right through. I bet every one of us probably knows somebody today. They can make a fistful of money, but they don't have anything to show for it. And then on the other side of that, there's people, they don't make that kind of money. I'm telling you, God's blessed them. Amen. They may not be living in a mansion, but they got a nice place to live. They got a comfortable car to drive. They got food on the table. Amen. What I'm telling you, God will be a whole lot better to you than the devil will ever think about. Amen. God will bless you with your little where the devil will keep on taking your much. Amen. There's the size of this famine. Then there's the sending of this famine. Notice the Bible said here that there arose a mighty famine in that land. You know, the Lord is always in full control. The Bible said the earth is His and the fullness thereof. This ground does not belong to the devil. He's the prince and the power of what? The air. You know what air is? It's a whole bunch of nothing. It's all around us. You can have all of it you want. Amen. How would you like somebody said, you know, I just purchased 10 acres of air. I got a great deal on that. Amen. Thomas Clarity sold me 10 acres of air at a real good deal. I'm telling you something. You say, well, preacher, if you bought air, you're just lost your mind. You just bought a whole bunch of nothing. That's all the devil owns. Amen. He's the prince and the power of a whole bunch of nothing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this world doesn't belong to Him. You say, how do you know that? Because when Jesus went to Calvary and when He died on the cross and He crushed the devil's head that day and He bruised his head at Calvary, He went down to paradise and He took captive those that were in paradise. He led the captivity captive and He came out, and the Bible said He had the keys of death and hell. He owns the title deed to this earth, and in Revelation chapter 5 He's going to open that. He's the only one worthy to open that book. Amen. That means that He owns this world. He owns it by creation. He owns it by Calvary. Amen. And He owns it because one day He's coming back in Revelation 19 and He's going to conquer it. Amen. He owns this world. Hallelujah. It's His. So He sends the sunshine, He sends the rain, He sends the famine. Notice the famine is not on the farm. You don't read about a famine in the father's place, do you? In fact, that younger boy even said, the servants have bread to what? Spare. There's no famine at the father's house. I'm going to tell you, I'm about to shout over that. Because there's no famine in the father's house. This world may be exploding from one end to the other. It may be turning upside down. They're marching in the streets in Iran, marching in the streets of New York. I'm telling you, this world has lost their mind. It's turned inside out. It's getting ready for the King of Kings to come. And I'm telling you, while the world is in turmoil, guess what? We're sitting in the Father's house this morning, and there's no famine down here, thank God. I'm telling you, the table is spread, and there's plenty more where it came from. And the coffers are full. I want to say thank God. I'm glad I'm still in the Father's house. I'm glad I'm still on the farm. I want to stay here, not the far country. Amen. I tell you, if you was to walk away from the house of God and go out to the world, friend, you're going to the far country. Amen. But I'm telling you, this young man, he got in trouble when he got in a different land. The famine in the land. Everything I've ever needed, God has supplied it in church. Boy, when you need encouragement, He knows how to encourage you. Brother Laddie, I thought about when Sister Thelma went home to be with the Lord, I thought about what you testified that night. What a powerful testimony, and what a powerful testimony of this family. Not one of us would have blamed them for staying home. In fact, I mean, that's just expected. But they came on to church. And I'm not saying people that don't are wrong. I want you to understand that. I'm just saying, what a testimony. But He said that night, I'll never forget it. that this is where I've always found my help, and I want to come to church. It probably, it no doubt thrilled the heart of God, and it probably thrilled the heart of your bride as she worshiped on that side, and you worshiped, and your daughters worshiped on this side. You say, what is that? Everything we need is in His house. Don't you feel full this morning in the Father's house? I'm telling you, I don't want what the beer-drinking crowd's got. I don't want what the dope-smoking crowd's got. Hey, I don't need the dance floor, amen? I don't want their perverted living and their loose lifestyle. I feel sorry for them. We want them to get saved. And they're doing the only thing they know to do. I'm not criticizing them this morning. And don't misunderstand me. But what I am telling you this morning, I'm so thankful. Don't you thank God that we're not living in the far country this morning? I'm glad I'm not living that kind of life. I should be and I could be and I ought to be. But by the grace of God, I'm in the Father's house. And I want to be like David said. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning, the famine, the folly. But then here's really what I'm preaching on for a few moments, just a few moments. The fields. Notice verse 15. The Bible says, and when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields. To feed swine. I read that the other morning and I thought, boy, how ironic this is. You said, what do you mean? All this boy ever wanted to do was leave the farm, the fields. He hated the fields. There's no fun in the fields. No parties being thrown in the fields. No loose living in the fields. You know what the field is in the Father's house? It's work. It's responsibility. It's duty. But it's also prosperity. You eat because of the fields. It's blessing. It's ownership. It's security. The fields at the Father's house, they represent so many good things. Just like in church, there's responsibility. The work of God is work. That's what it is. It's work. But there's liberty. That boy had freedom in those fields. There's fellowship in the fields, amen? There's all kinds of good things in the Father's fields. And that boy couldn't wait to leave the field. What's ironic is the Bible says in verse 13, not many days after the younger gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. And watch this, he doesn't get two verses out of one field, and guess where he winds up? He lands back in another field. I read that the other morning. I thought, man, that boy, he went from here to here, about that far. And he winds right back up in one of the places he hated the most. I want to preach a few minutes on this subject, on one field, from one field to another. From one field to another. That's all that happens. He just goes in about three verses. He goes from one field to another, but these fields are totally different. When we think about these fields, we have to consider these fields. They're mentioned for a specific reason. They play a vital role in this parable and in the story of life itself. And we ought to pay attention to the fields. When the elder boy hears the music and he comes down, he's coming from the field. Amen? And you'll notice there is a celebration taking place. There's a lot of good. There's good fields and there are bad fields. Now, Jesus said the field is the world. Amen? And so when you think about this world, look at it like this. There's good places in this world, and there's some bad places in this world. Church is a good place in this world. Amen? Hey, family, home. Brothers and sisters, and a mom and dad, a husband, a wife. That's a good place in this world. There's some good fields God put us in, isn't it? But then there's these fields. And we have to connect these fields. Jesus said the fields of the world, but we have to contrast these fields. They're not the same. This boy leaves one field and he winds up in another set of fields. He never planned on it, but that's where he winds up. Let me tell you something about getting away from God. You'll always end up in a place you never planned on. He never planned on this. He thought riotous living. the high life, the good life, the fun life, no responsibility, no rules, nobody breathing down my neck, nobody telling me how I'm going to live or what I'm going to do. That's the life I want to live. Oh, all you got to do is look at the people that's living in that field, and maybe some of them are having a good time. They're still in verse number 13. They're in riotous living. But wait till they get in verse 15. When they wind up in the field, look how their life turns out. I'm talking about the contrast of these fields. We should contrast the placing of these fields. Remember, when the son was in that one field, he was at home, amen? But when he winds up in these fields, he's a stranger, amen? He was a son in the first field, but he's a stranger in this second field. If you're truly born again, you feel at home when you're in the house of God. But when you get out of the will of God and you get out there in this world, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be a stranger all the days of your life. You can drink the booze, you can go to the parties, you can go to the dance floor, you can do everything that they do out in this world. I'll tell you, if you're really truly saved, you'll never fit in. I'm telling you, you'll be a square trying to fit. In a round hole, you'll never fit in if you're truly saved. I'll tell you, if you can hook up with a heathen and go on and live like nothing ever happened and life is better, you chalk it up. You've never been born again. You've been slipped a counterfeit. I'm telling you, if you're truly saved, this is home. This is family. That's how I know I'm saved, because you love the Lord and you love the people of God. Amen. I don't want to leave church, do you? The area is different in verse number 15 than it is in verse 12. The atmosphere is different. The attitudes of people are different. The agenda, the attire, everything about the far country is different than the father's field. There's no favoritism in this field. This boy will have to earn his own way. He'll find no grace, he'll find no mercy, he'll find no forgiveness, he'll find no love. There'll be no joy in his life. There'll be no fun, even though he thinks there's fun. But if you notice, when the money's gone, it's right there in black and white, or actually in red, but when the money's gone, what happens? The fun is gone with it. I remember growing up, and as long as there was a case of beer, there was people hanging around. But when the beer was gone and it was Wednesday and you were broke and you had to wait till payday to buy more, nobody stopped by the house. But they come by on Friday and Saturday. You know why? Because as long as there's money, the boy, he can have fun. Oh, listen to me. The placing of these fields. You know the thing about the father's field? He don't need money to enjoy life. Everything is taken care of by the Father. Living for God brings real joy, and it brings lasting peace. The things of this world only makes you want more. You want to talk about pressure. There's more pressure out in the world trying to be something that you're not if you're saved than there is coming. You know, I'm not everything I want to be or need to be, but the pressure is a whole lot different, because, or a whole lot less. You know why? Because when we mess up in here, guess what? There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. You know, if you've messed your life up this week, that's a sad thing, but guess what? It ain't nothing that one trip to this altar can't fix for you today. All you got to do is come down to this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done this week. You'll find forgiveness. You say, I've made a mess of things. Well, come down here and find some grace. Well, preacher, I tell you, I don't deserve God's forgiveness. No, but you can come down here and find mercy wrapped up with forgiveness in it. You say, well, how's that even possible? Because there's a whole lot of love. God loves you and He'll forgive you. Hey, the world will not show you mercy. The world is not going to show any kindness, any forgiveness, any grace. Those fields are different than the fields of the Father. Then we contrast the people of these fields. You notice in verse 15, there's no father in these fields. There's no family members. There's just a citizen. He goes from having a father to having an employer. He goes from having family to now he's a slave. This field, the people in this field are working to survive. They're not working to be blessed. They're not working because out of love. They're not working because the Father has been good to them. That's what those servants are doing. They're serving the Father because He's got bread enough to spare. He takes good care of them. And so it's a joy to go out and work every day because you know that every need is supplied. Amen? But when you go to this field, I'm telling you, you're in survival mode. You're doing everything you can and anything you can just to try to keep your head above water, even if it comes down to eating swine food. That's what the world will do to you. The world will bring you to rock bottom. Amen. The world will strip you of everything good that you got. The people out in the world, they're not like the people of God. How many times have we heard people, when they get out of church, to justify themselves, they want to talk bad about the church? You know, I don't believe that about anybody no more. I don't care if somebody left a liberal church and they said that liberal church was mean to them. I'm not even going to believe that anymore. I've heard that so many times. Have y'all heard that so many times? Well, I got out of church. I went down to that church, and I know they helped me in the beginning, but they sure did hurt me in the end. And the reason I'm out here smoking dope and drinking, the reason we're out here living the kind of life we're living, well, it's because I got hurt down there to people of God. Funny thing about that, them people are always doing the same thing they're still doing, still living the same way they're living, still singing the same songs that they're singing. They said, well, you know, they just wasn't kind to me. But it's amazing when they first come, they talk about, man, this is the kindest church I've ever been to. But we've heard that song sung so many times. We can sing that lyric ourselves. Can I get a witness on that? All that is just a cop-out. It's just a cover-up. It's just some crutch that they're trying to use to justify some means to an end to go out and live in sin. But I want to tell you something. The truth is, God's people has been far better to me than the world ever thought about. Hey, the world will leave you high and dry. The world will walk out on you and never come back again when you need them. But it's God's people. They'll go to the altar with you. They'll pick you up when you're falling. They'll hold your hands up. They'll pray for you. They'll love you in spite of everything. They'll never bring the past up. It's the people of God. Hallelujah. God's people are good to us. I have no sad stories or no complaints about the people of God. People say sometimes, well, Brother Gravely, you ever been hurt in church? I have. And I've hurt people. We're just humans. But I'll tell you something about Christian people. They may have a fallout, but if they're real Christians, they'll get it right with each other. They'll just get it right with each other. And they'll go on. You say, Brother Graff, you ever had words with somebody? Sure I have. But I ain't going to let the sun go down on it. I want to make it right, don't you? What if they don't? Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to live as peaceably as I can with all men. I'm going to do everything I can to make it right. If they don't want to make it right, that's between them and God. But I'm going to make it as right as I can on my end. There's not going to be anything between me, them, and the Lord. Amen. He said, what if they're crazy? Well, if they're just crazy, you can't do nothing with a crazy person. Can I get an amen? But you can at least tell them you love them and you're not mad at them. Is that right? And some people, I know some people are unreasonable. But even when they're unreasonable, we can still be kind to them. I'm talking about the contrast of the place, the contrast of the people, the contrast of the prosperity. You see, this boy, when he was at the father's, I thought about this. What kind of livestock did the father have? I mean, I would almost say he had sheep because Jesus talked about the shepherd, didn't he? I thought he probably had sheep. I don't know if they had sheep, but I like to think that because of the context before it, but there's no proof of it. But we do know they had beef, don't we? Because when that boy come home, he said, kill the fatted calf. So they had beef. We know that the citizen of the far country, he had pork. Everybody knows beef is a whole lot better than pork. Somebody say amen. You go to the grocery store, I'll tell you what you're going to pay less for. Can I get an amen right there? Pork. You say, I like sausage and bacon. I understand that, but don't you like a ribeye and a T-bone and a New York strip and a porterhouse? I'm naming all this because it's 12 o'clock and I want you to get real hungry right now. Don't you like all that? Man, I like sausage. I like bacon. I don't eat it much anymore. But I like it. But if you come to me and said, Brother Gravely, would you like to have hot dog, pork hot dog? Or would you, when we was growing up, we had those quick starts. Y'all remember them? That was a quick start, amen. In more ways than one. You'd drop them things in there, and I'm telling you, it looked like you poured Kool-Aid in the pot before you boiled it. Y'all remember that? You could buy them. Me and Brother Black, remember what time we took a bunch of young people camping? I went down there they were selling two packs for 53 cents. And I bought six of them. We took them out and we burned them as black as we could. We ate them down by the creek, and then we all got sick about 2 o'clock in the morning. Boy, that was a blessing, wasn't it? That was the last camping trip I ever took with Donald Black. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I like pork. You know, pork's good, but it's in no comparison to beef. And the father, he had steaks, ribeyes, pork, had porterhouses. He had all this high expensive because he gives the best. Can we get an amen right there? He, as the song said, he won't just get you by. He'll see you through. He took care. They didn't even know a famine was happening on the farm because there was no shortage of beef. But he gets down here, and the only thing that the citizen has is he has pork. I'm going to tell you something. God's ways is better than the devil's ways. God's wealth is better than the devil's wealth. God will bless you more. You say, well, if I live, I get out there and look at how them Hollywood stars are living. Look at how those people that have sold their soul to the devil for music and everything. Look how they're living. Amen. They're making millions and snorting it up their nose and funneling it down their throat and all kinds of different other ways. Look how they're living. I'll tell you, they're not living on beef. They're living on the pork of this world. And not even that. They're living on the husk of this world. But I'm telling you, God... Listen, he'll give you a clean conscience. He'll give you a clean mind. He'll give you a clean heart. He'll give you something pure that you can pillow your head at night. I'd say that's high quality. Hallelujah. It's high quality, isn't it? You'll have more living for God than you ever will living for the devil. And then finally, I want you to contrast the potential of these fields. What do you mean by that? Well, when this boy is on the farm, I see a bright future for this young man. You young people, listen to me. Listen to me very closely. You young people here in this church, you all have a bright future. You have a bright future. Because you have a clean slate. You have a bright future. You're sitting in a good place. There's a lot of us this morning would have said, man, I'd have loved to have sat where you sat at your age. How many of you could say amen to that? Good church, good family. You know, you're living high life, what you're living right now. No bills, no taxes, no nothing. You're going to church and, you know, you girls, the biggest turmoil you're going to have this week is to figure out what you're going to wear next Sunday. And that takes all week, don't it, to figure that out. I know. I raised two of them. We raised two of them. They'd ask me impossible questions. Dad, you know what I wore last week? I'm like, I don't know what I wore last week. How do I know what you wore last week? Or they'd come up and they'd say, hey, does this match? I'm like, I don't know. Well, go ask your mama. I don't know. You know. But you're living in a good place. You're in a great place. You get out of this place. You leave it too early. Maybe because you think, you know, you boys are in a good place too. I didn't mean to leave y'all out. But you're in a good place. You leave it too early, or you leave it when you're not supposed to leave it at all. I'm going to tell you something. You lose your potential. You'll never, you say, well, I'll get right with God. This boy got right with God. But here's what happens. You'll never know what full potential God had in store for you if you don't stay put until he says so. And then he goes to this last field, and guess what? All he is a slave. He's just working. He's really working for nothing, isn't he? Because he doesn't get a meal before he gets a job. That's not the way the world works. The world don't give you anything. You'll have to earn every single bit of it, and then some. The world doesn't play fair. I'm sure that citizen could look at that boy until he was starving to death. Anybody with any mercy at all would have said, "Hey, son, let me give you something to eat first before I send you out in that field." He doesn't do that. He just sends him out there. He goes from one field to another. This morning, I want to say this as we get ready to sing this song. I was praying this morning, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what you want to do in this service, but please give me wisdom about what to preach." And I know I'd preach this message, but I was like, "Lord, give me wisdom about what to say." And I tell you what was on my heart. Only God knows if that's him or not, but what's on my heart is that there's no doubt there's probably someone or someones. You're sitting here. Now you listen to me. I'm going to give the invitation, but listen to me. Someone or someones sitting here this morning, you're thinking about leaving the Father's house. I'll tell you where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up in another field, but it'll be the field of the far country. I never, by the grace of God, I don't want to wind up there, do you? Young, old, middle age. I don't want to wind up in the fields of the far country. And it could happen. You know, my wife and I, we heard of somebody this past week that somebody that has lived for God for over 30 years. They've been married for over 30 years. They probably lived for God over 40 years. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, live for God. And somebody told me the other day, said, you know so-and-so. I said, "Oh, you hadn't saw them and probably saw them in 10 years. He said, "They're getting a divorce." I said, "What?" I would have never ever thought they would be getting a divorce. They said, "Yeah, they're getting a divorce." I said, "What happened?" They said, "I don't know." But they said little by little they started changing things, and that's what happened. I reckon that's what happened. I don't know. I'm telling you, that boy, I tell you how he got out of that field to the other. You know how he got out of it? I just thought about this. You know how he got out of that field, Brother Logan? One step at a time. Just one step. Brother Lady, at any moment, he could have turned around and went back, but he kept taking. You know how you get out of church and you get away from God? I'll tell you how you do it. One step at a time. That's how it happens to us. Just one step. You might say, "Well, I've just not been reading my Bible. I've just not been praying." One step. The devil can get you to quit reading your Bible, boys. If he can get you not to read your Bible every day, it doesn't take long to read your Bible. If he can get you not to read your Bible, here's what he could get you to do. He might could get you when you're 17 or 18 or 19 to make a bad decision that wouldn't be God's will. But reading that Bible every day, that keeps you where you need to be at. Let's stand this morning. I don't know if you need to come, but if you need to come, would you come on this song as we sing?
I've won.